This is a Discovery Health podcast. Get the latest health news and tips on living well at discoveryhealth.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Kashi. Kashi congratulates all the participants in the National Body Challenge for joining the mission for healthier, happier living. With all-natural cereals, snacks, entrees, and pizzas, Kashi is seven whole grains on a mission. For Discovery Health, I'm Will Johnson, and we'd like to welcome back once again to our Discovery Health podcast, Jonathan Ross. He is Discovery Health's National Body Challenge fitness expert and also the American Council on Exercise Trainer of the Year. Jonathan, thanks for joining us once again.
You're welcome, Will.
Well, last week we talked about sort of the mid-body challenge plateau and plateaus in general when you're exercising. Say after the 1st of January, it's easy to jump into an exercise, but then maybe right around now it's a little bit more difficult. Another challenge can also be real life, and what I mean by that is vacations come up. People go out to restaurants, there's birthdays, there's even work. I find on a personal level, if you're traveling or out of town, it's sometimes tough to stick to a diet or an exercise routine. Let's talk about those challenges. How can people say, hey, you know, I'm going on a vacation, but I don't have to let all this exercise go out the window?
Well, the first strategy would be to really consider what type of vacation it is going to be. And if there's a very realistic opportunity to have access to exercise equipment or to be able to exercise on this vacation, then even just doing a couple workouts while on the vacation can really just maintain what you did leading up to the vacation. I'm not a big fan of sending people on vacations and having them work out every day for an hour, because you want to enjoy the vacation and you want to get a little bit out of your routine. That's the purpose of a vacation. But if we completely shut down all activity, then we're going to lose some of the progress that we got. So if we have the opportunity to at least do maybe 2 or 3 days during, say, a week-long vacation, then that'll help maintain what we got leading up to it. Also, if it's going to be a little bit more of an active vacation, like maybe you have some hiking or, you know, you're going to play some tennis or something while you're on this vacation, then there's maybe not even really a high need to exercise at all. On the other hand, if someone's been training really, really hard leading up to the vacation, or if they know they're going to a place where they're not going to have the opportunity to work out, or they frankly just want the mental break, what I typically encourage someone to do is in the 2 to 3 weeks leading up to the vacation, work out harder than you normally would, maybe even more days per week or add more intensity to just make your body fatigued enough that it needs that week of recovery. So then you can skip the workouts and not feel guilty for it because your body needs the break.
And even as we mentioned last week with a mid-challenge plateau, if you don't happen to stick to your schedule, the thing to do is to get back into it. Don't beat yourself up.
Exactly. There's really no value in sort of looking too far backwards, because if you miss one workout, you can't go back in time and get it back. You just have to move forward.
Now, there are other real-life challenges that aren't necessarily vacation. Sometimes it can just be, well, going out to eat and having a big dinner, or, you know, a party or birthday or thing like that. How can people put those into their lives and keep having a good time, enjoying life, but not letting go of what they've already succeeded in doing?
Well, the best thing to understand is that your body builds itself from your habits. And it doesn't build itself from a one-time thing. So that means if we're eating good food, quality nutrition most of the time, if we go out with family, friends, or at a work function, and we have a meal that is less than ideal, it's not going to take you all the way back to where you started from. It does need to be accounted for in that you want to look at all the meals you're going to have before and after and maybe moderate things a little bit. Like if you know you're going out to some cocktail party or some work function, or somebody's going away, it's going to be some big retirement dinner or a birthday party, there's going to be cake and cupcakes and you're just going to have one. Well, then factor that in to the 2 to 3 meals before this event and the 2 to 3 meals after that event. Maybe scale the calories back a little bit. Make sure the quality of nutrition is very high so your body is getting all the nutrients that it needs, so it can absorb the hit from this one less than ideal meal, and you won't suffer for it.
All right, and Jonathan, in terms of just, you know, selecting a meal if you're out at a restaurant, I mean, one thing to consider is the portion sizes in restaurants these days just seems out of control.
This is true, and it's funny because if you look at what chefs do, they typically want to deliver more value, so the customers are paying higher prices for entrees at nice restaurants, so they want to make sure they get good value, so the portion sizes go up, and it's like a constant battle between sort of justifying the higher prices of dinner entrees with larger quantities of food. But if you're going to be out at a restaurant and needing to make choices in this sort of world where you know the portion sizes are going to be larger, some things to watch out for are calorie-dense foods, where pretty much staying away from anything that has the word fried in it. There really just is very little need to eat anything fried. The fats used for frying are unhealthy, and also the calorie content is extremely high, and it's not healthy fats. Something else to look out for is things that are sautéed in butter or have heavy cream-based sauces. And a nice strategy can be to order a salad as an appetizer so that you're able to fill yourself up with some low-calorie density foods that are also very high in nutritive quality, so that we're bringing some good nutrition into the body before we're going to sit down for the main meal. And there's, again, nothing wrong with taking things home. As a kid, I know I was encouraged to be a member of the Clean Plate Club, which is something I'm sure a lot of people listening to this can identify with. And that's not always the best advice, because there's really not much to be gained in necessarily keeping the plates clean by putting all the food in our mouths if we're not hungry enough to have it at that time.
And nice to have something later in the fridge if you don't have anything else around.
That's true. You could use that extra leftovers for lunch at the office the next day, or just simply dinner the next day, or some other meal. If you don't need it, then we don't need to eat it.
All right. Great advice, Jonathan Ross. Thanks once again.
You're welcome.
And Jonathan Ross is Discovery Health's National Body Challenge fitness expert. Good luck to everybody doing the body challenge. And if you'd like to learn more about it, if you're not doing the body challenge yet, just go to discoveryhealth.com. For Discovery Health, I'm Will Johnson.